Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It is really good to be here. Us Ohio folks are being treated very well this weekend. We're enjoying our time with Ronalds, and they have rolled out the red carpet, as we have felt welcome here this morning too. It's just good to be here. The title of my message this morning is Taking Up the Mantle. Taking Up the Mantle. You open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. This is a message I was asked to share some time back, a year or two, a year and a half. I'm not sure why I felt so inspired to share that. I have to confess it's not the one I was planning to share when I came to New York. But somehow, it seemed like it was the right one. So, some of you home folks, if you remember this, I apologize if it's getting old. I think there's something for each of us here today. Let's read this account, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 17. It came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw them no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. The mantle in this story represents the work that God called these men to do. The work that he called Elijah to do, and Elijah was going to be gone, and someone else needed to take up the work. God called Elisha to take up this work. The mantle represents this work. Today there is still a mantle to pick up and carry on. We're going to look at two different aspects of that mantle today. First of all, personally. Second, in church life. There's still a mantle to pick up and carry on. Please forgive me if there's a confusion between the Elijah and Elishas this morning. We'll try and be accurate, but bear with me. There's a lot to be said. You know the story. You understand where I'm coming from if I get it mixed up. Why is there a need to take up the mantle? I have three reasons. Number one, we as humans pass away, and a new generation rises up. 20 years, 30 at the most is a generation. Today, we're all here. We're sitting together here, and we look back and we say there was generations before us. But we don't know exactly what they went through because we're here today. This is our generation. Generations come and generations go. 30 years at the most makes 67 generations since the time of Christ. 67 times this mantle was put down and picked up, in essence, by a whole different group of people. 67 times. 100 times since the story of Elijah and Elisha. But yet this is constantly happening. We don't go 30 years and say, oh, now's the time to lay down the mantle and you people pick it up over here. This is happening all the time. It's constantly happening. Thousands of people have carried this mantle, have laid it down. And thousands have picked it up again. It's constantly happening. Elijah's time was up and someone else would need to carry on the work. Verse 13, Elisha took it up. The mantle fell from Elijah. He could not take it with him. Elijah seems to know that his time was running short, and he seemed to be testing Elisha's commitment to the work. Three times he told him, tarry here, I'm going to go on. He seemed to know his time was running short. His time was running out. Elisha passed the test. As long as Elijah's example was there to follow, he was determined to do so. He was not willing to lose opportunities to learn more about what was going to be expected of him, to learn more about this mantle that needed to be picked up. The second point, why is there a need to take up the mantle? The mantle or the work of the Lord will not happen without human hands to carry on. Elisha took it up in his hands. The mantle, the work of the Lord, will not happen without human hands. Elisha did the simple thing of picking it up. Even though he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, there was still tools to pick up. There's physical work sometimes goes along with this mantle. Thirdly, why is there a need to pick up the mantle? There will be a day of reaping for the way we have responded to this call. If we have access to the Word of God, we have a responsibility to pick up this mantle, and we will give an account for the way we have handled this call. It will be a day of reaping. What does the mantle represent personally? I have 3 points. First and foremost, the mantle represents personally, it represents the need for a personal commitment to follow God. The Spirit of God will not dwell with us until we make the choice to follow God. The Spirit of God doesn't show up one day and say, I'm going to live in you. It doesn't work that way. The need for a personal commitment to follow God. Elisha asked for a double portion, but until he was willing to take up the work, the double portion of the Spirit of God was not upon him. Until he was willing to take up the work. Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross. Personally, not someone else, not your neighbor, not the brother beside you. Personally. What does the mantle represent personally? The second thing I have is a willingness to do what it takes to be a child of God. Let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's look at the call that Elisha received. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. So he departed thence, this being Elijah, I believe. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he, Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. When the call came to Elisha, he responded immediately. I have a feeling those oxen stopped at the end of the row and they just stood there. Elisha took off. Maybe they didn't even get to the end of the row. He understood there was a call here and a significance of that mantle being placed upon him by this prophet who came through the field. I don't know if Elisha had any premonition of what was going to happen that day. I don't know if he knew anything beforehand that he was going to receive a call like that. When the man of God came through the field and cast his mantle upon him, I get the picture, he dropped the reins and he took off after him. He responded immediately. There was no questioning what needed to be done or if it was the Lord's will. Sometimes we question if it's the Lord's will. We're called to a task, a position in the church that we just feel like we can hardly handle. Elisha took off immediately. A willingness to do what it takes to be a child of God. That's what the mantle represents personally. What does the mantle represent personally? The third point, the recognition of the value of joining a scriptural church. Elisha didn't go join a church after he got called, but Elisha felt a need to spend time with Elijah. He realized the experience he would need to be useful in his calling. He realized that would not come if he was out with the oxen doing his own thing, going back and forth in the field following those oxen. Yes, it's good to spend time in the field meditating. I'm a farmer, I enjoy that. You can meditate a lot of good things out in the field. But he realized he needed more than that. And we need a faithful brotherhood to help us prepare to be useful. Elisha felt the need to spend time. He was done plowing. He felt the need and his inadequacy of this leadership, and he wanted to spend time with the man who had gone before. And we'll look at some more of that later. Elisha felt the need to spend time with Elijah. Personally, picking up the mantle, we need to recognize the value of joining ourselves to a body of people who will help us to pick up the mantle, to carry on this work. Sometimes you meet people who feel like they could serve the Lord better by themselves if they follow their own ideas. Well, I'm not here to judge, but that doesn't always work. We need a brotherhood. We need others of like faith to help us. We get off on the wrong track too often if we do our own thing. What does the mantle represent in church life? I have a few more. I have, I think, 3 points in that one as well. What does the mantle represent in church life? The work of the church. What is the work of the church? The work of the church is bringing souls to Christ from within the congregation, our young people. And I want to talk about some of that this morning. Or from without, those we rub shoulders with every day. That's the work of the church, to show them the gospel, not to give them a Bible. They can buy one of them. If they can't afford it, yes, give it to them. To show them the gospel in your life. That's the work of the church, bringing souls to Christ from within and without. And to promote spiritual growth within the church is also the work of the church. Are you promoting spiritual growth in the congregation you're a part of, or are you kind of dragging it down? Promote spiritual growth among its members. What does the mantle represent in church life? Point number two, the daily life of the church. Now this is somewhat the same, but yet it's the everyday duties. Taking up the tasks that need to be done. Someone needs to be the church leader. Someone needs to lead the song. Someone needs to lead out in Sunday school. Taking up the tasks that need to be done. That's the daily life of the church. Someone needs to count the offering. Someone needs to work on the building. The daily life of the church. That's the work of the church, taking up the mantle. If you're always too busy to help out when things need done, when a brother calls you and says, you know, we could use a hand today, I'm too busy, I've got so much going on. The mantle is very simple sometimes. Very simple. The third point, what does the mantle represent in church life, is the witness of the church. Some of these are closely related, but let's look at this point a little bit. The witness of the church, the work of evangelizing verbally by our lives as you go about your work. called to be the light of the world. I don't know what you brethren do for work. I know Ron, he replaces windows sometimes. He gets out into some homes. He gets, whatever you're doing, are you evangelizing as you work? No, you don't need to be standing there preaching to your customer. But can he see something in you? Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." In verse 16 of Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You're sending off a signal when you're out there working. What is it? Is it a light or is it a dark signal? That's also the mantle. Very simple. Taking up the mantle doesn't mean you're going to be a pastor in the church. Taking up the mantle means that you're willing to be a child of God and do what He asks you to do, how simple or how difficult it might be. Well, let's think about this passing from one to the next. Who are the Elijahs of today? Who is an Elijah? Well, we could say it's the older brother who is about to the end of his life and he can't hardly get out anymore and do the work. He's an Elijah. Well, yes, he is. But you are too. Who are the Elijahs of today? Number one, those who realize that there is another generation rising up. How many of us realize there's another generation rising up? You soon realize it when you become a father. There's another generation rising up. Are you an Elijah today? While the Lord tarries, it's all of us are the Elijahs. That's part of our work of carrying the mantle, is passing it on. We're all Elijahs today. The Elijahs of today, or us, need to realize, and here's the point, we need to get this point. We need to realize that the rising generation will pick up a mantle of some kind. They will pick up something. You cannot force them to pick up the mantle of your choosing. You cannot force them to pick up a mantle of your choosing. And what are you doing to encourage them to pick up the work that you've begun? Elijah came through the field and he cast his mantle on Elijah and he walked off. Elisha could have shrugged the thing off and kept on plowing. He had corn to plant that day. We've got things going on. How are you going to instill a desire in a rising generation to pick up the work that you started? The work that you didn't start, that you picked up from someone else, I should say. But how are you going to instill a desire in the rising generation to pick up that work? They will have to pick it up of their own choice. They will have to pick it up. You cannot jam it in their pocket and say, "You've got it, and it's yours to deal with." They will have to pick it up. Okay, the next point. How can the Elijahs make the mantle attractive? And I thought about that this morning as we were sitting in Sunday school, and we heard about polishing, we heard about persecution, and we heard about trials. And you say we're going to make this attractive? Yes, absolutely. How can we make the mantle attractive to those who come behind? It may not be easy. I have 7 points I want to go over. Many of them are questions. Point number one, is there life? Is there power in the mantle you carry? Can great things be accomplished? Have you felt it personally? Back to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Elijah took the mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided. Have you felt the power of the mantle you carry personally? Yeah, if Elijah said, "Oh, well, it looks so hard to cross the Jordan today. After all, we might get wet." What would have been the purpose in Elisha picking up that mantle? Picking up that old cloak of Elijah's when it fell off him. Where's the power? Elijah moved ahead as they came to that water. He moved ahead without hesitation. I don't get the feeling he stood at the river's bank and tried to decide what they're going to do. He got to the water. He took off his mantle. He wrapped it together and he smote the water and he walked across. He didn't spend an hour messing around at the waterside trying to decide what he was going to do. He knew the power Do you know the power in the mantle you carry? If the Elijahs of today sit back and sigh and say, oh, well, it looks too hard to move ahead, the Elishas of tomorrow will see no reason to pick up the mantle and carry it on. There would be no point in it. If you can't understand the power of the mantle you carry today, how can you expect someone else to have a desire to pick it up? Number two, how can we make the mantle attractive? Is there vitality? Now here we're getting into these big words. What does vitality mean? Vitality is the power to live, to grow or develop. That's vitality. Is there power to grow in the mantle you carry? Or does it take all the strength we have just to survive? Think about that. There will be no motivation to take up the mantle if the church is only in survival mode. Let's think about that a little bit. Is your church in survival mode, or do you have the power to grow and develop? And these things can apply to our lives personally as well. They maybe almost apply more personally than in church life. Is there vitality in your mantle you carry? We're only surviving the Christian life, barely surviving. How can we expect the next generation to have any desire to take it up? If we are just barely surviving, how can we expect them to take it up? You know, if I'm just barely surviving, how can I expect my son to see his way clear? That's sobering. The third thing, how can we make the mantle attractive, is God's power visible and His Word understood. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. You know, that last point, I just have to think, you know, I don't profess to have that figured out. The vitality and to know that I have things figured out, that the next generation has a good example to follow. But let's do our best. If you're a father here, I think you know what I'm talking about. Let's do our best. That's the best we can do. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8 through 11. Is God's power visible and His Word understood? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Is God's Word understood in our churches today? Is God's Word understood in our personal lives? The Word of God is simple. It's not a confusing, well, I don't know what to call it. It's a simple Word of God. Basic principles. This mantle is not some detailed thing that we can't even understand. Pick up your Bible and read it. Study it. It's simple. It's simple. Is the code of living and the guide for the work that I do, is it the Word that God has given? Is my code of living the Word that God has given? This is the only way that this mantle has been passed from generation to generation, all those generations, and hasn't been totally changed and lost along the way, is because of the Word of God. And it doesn't change. That's the only way this mantle is still in progression. This is the code to unlock the strength of the mantle. Elijah and Elisha both understood the power of God's Spirit. This is the Word. Let's turn back to 2 Kings, our chapter we read there, chapter 2. In verse 10, Elisha and Elijah understood the power of this work they were involved in. Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and Elijah had no qualms about promising this blessing. There was nothing physical that Elijah could do to guarantee that Elisha would receive this double portion. There was nothing he could do. He couldn't give him something to guarantee that. But he did not hesitate to apply the power of God in this situation. He promised with the faith that God would deliver. Do we understand that kind of power in the work we do? Do we understand the power of this mantle? Fourthly, how can we make the mantle attractive? Is it proactive? There we go, another big word. Proactive has to do with the idea, are we dealing in advance, acting in advance to deal with expected issues? Maybe this falls more on church leaders' shoulders. Is the church awake and alert to the coming dangers? I shouldn't say it just falls on church leaders' shoulders. We're all involved in this. Are we prepared for the next attack of Satan? You know, technology today is a prime example. It changes so fast. Are we aware of what's coming at us? Do we sit back and take the approach that, well, this has always worked and we're just going to sit back and wait till trouble is in our midst? Or are we proactive? Pressures outside are changing fast. What are we going to do about it? The fifth point, how can we make the mantle attractive, is another question. Is there a future? Is there a future in the mantle you carry? Whether they realize it or not, young people today in the church, out of the church, are looking for a place to put down roots. They're looking for a place to belong. I think every normal young person has that longing in their heart to belong somewhere. Is there a future in the mantle you carry? Elijah understood there was a future here. There was work to do. There would be rewards for the work he did. Do you see a future in the mantle you carry that can be attractive? If young people today don't see any future in the church you're a part of, in the mantle you're carrying, they're going to go elsewhere. Number six, closely related. The Elijahs of today can make the mantle attractive by respecting, not following all the time, but respecting the input and ideas of the Elishas coming on. That's a delicate subject. Verse 9 here, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away. He wanted to help. But I don't believe in the days that those two men worked together that Elijah lectured day after day to Elisha. I think the power was obvious. The power was manifested. Elijah was there to answer the questions that may have come from the younger man as he looked ahead and realized that Elijah was going to be gone. Elijah realized that the work would be Elisha's from here on. He realized that. And he wanted to do what he could to make the work easier for him. He asked what he could do. Let's remember, those Elisha's coming on, those young people are going to pick up something. And what's it going to be? If they see no future in the mantle you're carrying, they're going to look elsewhere and they're going to pick up something else. Are they going to pick up something that you want them to? Seventh point, is the joy of the Lord visible in your life? Is the joy of the Lord visible in your life? This may apply more to the personal aspect of the mantle. If there's no joy in living the Christian life, how can we expect the rising generation to have any desire to follow in our footsteps? You know, a long face, always a negative attitude toward life, rarely attracts any followers. Just be joyful. It's the joy of the Lord visible in your life. What are some key points in being able to pick up the mantle? We need to keep moving on. I know it's a warm morning. I have 5 points here. What are some key points in being able to pick up the mantle? We are all Elishas as well. We're Elijahs and we're Elishas at the same time. First and foremost, we need to choose to live for the Lord. There's no place in the Lord's work for those who have never made Him the Lord of their lives. The mantle needs to be picked up on a personal level before we can pick it up in church work. Choose to live for the Lord is point number one. Point number two, Be willing to learn what it takes. In 1 Kings 19, when Elijah cast that mantle upon Elisha, Elisha never hesitated. He was busy about his work. When the call came, he was ready to follow and learn. After Elijah sent him back, he took care of his things, then went and spent time learning what this call was all about. Be willing to learn what it takes. Number three, key points in being able to pick up the mantle. Recognize the work that was started by those before. Recognize what they did. When Elisha asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, he was in essence asking to become Elijah's heir. Maybe I said that wrong. Elijah's heir. Elijah's son. H-E-I-R. In the Israelite law, the firstborn son received a double portion of the father's inheritance. Elisha asked for the double portion. He wanted to be Elijah's successor, the one who would carry on the work that Elijah started. He recognized the work that Elijah started, and he wanted to be a part of it. That's a key point in being able to pick up the mantle. Do you respect the work that those have done who have gone before? You know, the decision to grant this request of the double portion was up to God, but Elijah told him how he would know if his request had been granted. And this helps us to understand the response of Elisha in verse 12 of that chapter in 2 Kings. And Elisha saw it and he cried, "My father, my father!" He knew that he was the heir. The double portion was his, and he called him father. I often wondered why Elisha called him father, but when I studied that and realized that double portion thing, it makes sense. Elisha realized in that moment that he was the heir and his double portion would be his. He knew in that moment his request would be granted. In order to successfully pick up the mantle, we need to recognize the value of the work that our forefathers have done. You know, an example of that would be church structure. Church standards, patterns established. They had reasons for the things they did. Do we respect that? Yes, we need to do our own homework. We need to make application in our day, but do we respect the work that our forefathers have done? Fourth point helps in being able to pick up the mantle. Spend time with those who have carried the mantle thus far. Three times Elijah asked Elisha to tarry here. Just stay here. I need to go on, but you stay here. And it seems Elisha wanted to spend as much time possible with the one he was to take the mantle from. He realized that this was going to be his work, and he wanted to know. He wanted to be there to know what this was all about. What better way to prepare ourselves than to learn from those who have borne the load ahead of us? Others have borne these loads. The struggles we face today are nothing new. Spend time with those who have carried the mantle thus far. Point number five, we need to recognize the source of the power to carry the mantle. Do we recognize the source of the power? Let's turn here in this chapter. I don't have that reference written down. Verse 14, Elisha recognized the source of the power, and I like this verse. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters, and he said, this mantle worked before? No. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He knew the source of the power for this mantle. Do you recognize the source of the power in the mantle you carry? Elisha knew his own strength would not be enough. He knew his own strength would not be enough. Call upon God and ask for strength to bear the load. After all, it's His work and not our own. Think of Solomon as he was called to lead the people. He fell before the Lord and called out for wisdom. Yes, we know Solomon didn't turn out the best, we could say, but he called on God for wisdom. Recognize the source of the power. Just a closing reference. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No matter what phase of this we find ourselves in, let's not lose the sight of the fact that this manual work must and will go on until the final judgment day. Let's each do our part. There is work for us all and excuses for none. Let's kneel for prayer.